And we're trying again.
Hello, Poffit.
So, hello, I'm Samus, he's Travis. We just recorded this episode, or the intro, previously, and my computer and the internet decided to start on fire. So, put the fire out.
Literally, burned everything to the ground.
Well, I mean,
he's floating right now.
Fortunately, there was a cat here I was able to beat the fire out with.
Yes, so. Cats are good for multiple things.
That's true. You can use them to clean your shoes. You can use them to put out fires.
You can use
them as a fleshlight.
If you like going insane, you can just eat their poop.
I cannot validate the poop eating for the crazy.
Have you ever met Jeremy's dog?
Yes.
It eats cat poop.
Well, I mean...
Therefore...
First of all, it's a wiener dog, so why wouldn't a wiener want to get as much poop in its mouth hole as it can? Right?
Point.
Eight.
But I've never met a more insane dog.
Doesn't your wiener hole try to eat as much poop as it can?
No.
Well, you're doing the sex wrong.
I cover it with a plastic bag to prevent that.
I put it in a plastic bag, I shove it in dark holes, until it throws up. Alright, well that was enough disgusting,
welcome
disgusting
to our
conversation.
PG-13 show.
Welcome to our PG-13 show. Again, I'm Samus, he's Travis, and we were going to ask a wonderful question of who you would like to be for the day. And you actually gave this to me in show prep. And you had this wonderful little tagline that went with it. So, hit me. Who do you want to be for the day, Travis?
I would be you, and shut the hell up.
Oh, boo. It's not as good the third time
around. It was really good the first time, because it caught you off guard.
It did, and it was also really good the second time. The third time, boo. Now I'm just sad. But you asked me, literally you asked me, right as it cut off, and apparently Pamela decided not to record any of the conversation because the computer died. I want to be Donald Trump for the day. It would be a short day. It would be the best day. It would be the greatest day, okay? Okay, it would be the most amazing day. First of all, what I would do is, okay... I would go to all of my white supremacist followers, all my supporters. Now, I realize, not all of my supporters are white supremacists, and that's okay. But I realize that all white supremacists are my supporters, okay? Okay, so what I would do is go to all of my supporters, and then I would tell them, I'd welcome them into the fold. I would get a big group hug, and I would scream Allah Akbar as my suicide vest went off. It would be the best day. It would be the greatest day. Oh, I'm so tired of Donald Trump.
In all reality, though, I'd be the Flash, so I could just travel back in time and go to concerts.
Well, I mean, that's a thing you could do. I mean,
I wouldn't change anything about history. I just go to concerts.
You know, the world is full of things that I would change if I could do things over again.
Yeah.
But it's like, I would go back in time and I'd buy gold. Like, whew, go back in time, buy gold when it was like $80 an ounce, run forward in time, give myself like 6 ounces of gold. Like, here you go, here's $6,000. Or, I'd go back in time, and I would buy, like, all of the Black Lotuses, and Dual Lands, and Time Walks, and all the money cards, back when they were, like, $30, and nobody cared. I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, I wouldn't give my my friend my Magic collection when he decided to move, and I'm like, well, you're the only person I play Magic with anymore, so I guess you can keep these cards so I don't have to have them. And then, like, now when I look back at it, I'm like, you know what? That's like $20,000 worth of Magic cards. I can't even.
You can't ever get back.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a thing. So, yeah, I could see being the Flash, but really, I would be Donald. Oh, come on. Did I say it right? Because boom. Yeah, I don't know. All right, well, now that we got the political rhetoric out of the way for the day, shall we get into the show? We are a podcast, theoretically, about Magic the Gathering.
As you may or may not have noticed from this just beautiful intro.
Oh, jeez. Jeez. Oh, my goodness. All right, so the title of today's episode, Challenge Accepted, with the subtitle of Don't Be Salty. Please don't be salty, everybody. Salty players are bad players, in my opinion. But I imagine there's a story here, Travis. You named today's episode. I want to hear the story of the reasoning behind this of today's episode.
All right, so the reasoning for the challenge accepted actually has to do with my troll card of the week, which we'll get into later. So we'll just leave that alone right now. The subtitle, you know, Don't Be Salty, is strictly because, so we have a judge here, and he's been playing the five color Bring to Light ever since it was created. And this weekend, or this FNM, he just got so salty over a loss. And it was the guy he was playing, basically the Eldrazi ramp deck, their green-red Eldrazi ramp. And the dude basically just did what it did. He ignored his opponent, who was our judge. And then on turn four, he played Worldbreaker. The judge handled it. Turn five, he played Worldbreaker. Turn six, he played Worldbreaker. Obviously, after that, he just was able to overrun. And our judge got so salty, and he starts just throwing words out that you shouldn't see from someone who is theoretically a professional for the game, especially at someone who is under the age of 15. And to me, just, it creates a very toxic environment. And unless you are single-handedly being targeted, like in a commander game or something, or, you know, 2HG or whatever, there's absolutely no reason for you to get salty over a game. It's just, like I said, it's toxic, and people shouldn't take things so seriously.
Yeah, I agree. It is difficult often to not take things seriously because Magic is a, in particular, is a high passion game. You know, usually if you're playing a card game about fantasy rules, that's not you and your partner getting freaky. It's something that has a little bit of passion behind it, right? Like, you're driven. So on one hand, it's hard to not be passionate, and that passion not to carry over into the game. But at the same time, you have to keep in mind that it is a game. It is, you know, when you see professional sports players like throw a fit or be jackasses at the Super Bowl or whatever, and they're like, hey guys, come on, it's a game. Sure. Again, it's a high-value, high-tension game with a lot of passion and love in it. But at the end of the day, it's still just a game. You want to be a good sport. It's the same thing with Magic, right?
If there's, like, a difference between a...
What?
Between, like, the Super Bowl and, you know, throwing a fit after you lose and an F&M event.
It's
one of them
for the individual players... for the individual players playing the game, right, there should be almost no difference. Like, you're playing the both as passionately as you can. You want to win as much as you can. Like, every time I sit down to play, I have a reason for playing. I either want to win, or I'm winning in a different way, right? Like, I'm winning by making people laugh, or I'm winning by doing something crazy, or I'm winning to get my weird combo off.
Right, but the scale of the whole thing is entirely different.
Winning
an F&M event will not have the same value on your life as winning a Super Bowl. You're not going to win an F&M and be in the history books forever as winning an F&M. You win a Super Bowl, you are going to be in the history books for winning a Super Bowl.
I think this is the difference between how I visualize things. I guess I'm not as worried about the long-term scales of these kind of things. I'm thinking in the moment, you know, if I'm doing something, I'm probably doing it to win. But at the same time, you have to be a good sportsman or woman and recognize when you've lost. Like, it's not always easy, and it's not always good, but at the same time, I realize that the passion, I think at the time, in the moment, should be comparable. Long term, after the fact, you should be able to look at it and go, oh, well, this is just an F&M. And that's where I think your point is valid. But in the moment, when you're playing it, tensions are high, you're wanting to make good decisions, I feel like every time you sit down to play, you should be playing as hard and as passionately as you can. You know, there's a saying, perfect practice makes perfect. So every time I sit down to play Magic with somebody and they're doing stuff and they're getting sloppy or whatever, I say that. I say, hey, come on, tighten your game up. Perfect practice makes perfect. Well, I don't play like this at a tournament, or I don't play like this at a thing. I'm like, yeah, but you're by playing sloppily now, you're teaching your brain that it's okay to be sloppy in the future.
Right.
And when you play sloppy, and then, oh, I'm at a tournament, I have to play tighter, I have to play better, I have to play properly. Well, then your brain's exercising to do that. You know, it's the same thing, in my opinion, with, you know, winning or losing a game of Magic. You always want to be a good sport. It doesn't matter if it's a football game in the backyard with your friends, or it's the Super Bowl, or if it's a Friday Night Magic, or if it's a Pro Tour. You always want to be a good sport. You always want to be doing it correctly. So I see your point. It is valid, but at the same time, I also feel like these things are comparable. And it can be tough. You need to not be a salty little... I prevented myself from having to bleep out a word, Travis. You should be proud of me. So... where did this challenge accepted come from then?
Well, the challenge accepted came from the prize support. And one of the cards that I got out of there, which is my troll card of the week, is Crush of Tentacles. And everyone just looked at it and was like, well, that card's garbage. I'm like, what are you talking about? This card is amazing. Like,
yeah, it's one of those cards that everyone is talking about how great it is, how wonderful it is, but nobody's done anything with it yet.
Well, and...
which is probably one of those cards that the first person who figures it out, there'll be a rush on them.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, challenge accepted. Like, they're like, okay, so they said that the card is garbage, and I said it was good, it just hasn't been done. Nothing's been done with it yet. So, they told me that I should do something with it, this F&M, considering they all know I like to brew. So I said I would do it. Challenge accepted. I'm going to make a deck around it.
I think it's probably relatively easy to do, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to have to ramp.
I don't even necessarily know if you need to ramp that much. I think this is your finisher. in a realistic world, like in a perfect world. I don't know. We'll have to work on it. I didn't do any brewing this week. Do you already have a deck list for us, or not yet?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, for the rough draft anyways.
Because in my mind, this would be a lot like the green, if you're going to go the routing rate, right?
Ramping route?
Or ramping.
Ramping.
Rant.
Route?
Hey.
Trying to help you out, bro.
When you get all your syllables in the right order every time, then you can correct me.
Well, I'm at least
this
using
is you
the
say
same.
I do that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so if you're going to go the rapping.
Ramping.
Rant. God bless it. I'm a professional podcaster, kids. Yes, I am. Okay, so if you're going to go ramping route.
Proud of you.
I think you build it up a lot like you would build the Eldrazi deck in standard right now. And then use Trusted Crush of Tentacles as one of your finishing spells. The disadvantage of that is, of course, you want to make those three 6/6s. Right? So you're going to be running things like Cure, right? They're three, or the 8/8s.
Yeah, it makes a single 8/8.
What am I thinking? I was thinking of Cure's Ultimate.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. You want to be able to get that Cure's Ultimate off real quick. So then, I guess it wouldn't have to do any extra work. Never mind. I don't know. I was just thinking it would do something similar. But, anyway, this is definitely a deck that Kiora, I think, is a natural for. Nissa is probably a natural for. Maybe even, like, a Gideon. Like, maybe you go, like, a Bant ramp kind of deck. Use the, try to get the emblems going. Whatever emblems are sweet. I don't know. Tell me your thoughts. I'm curious.
All right, so far, I have part of the ramp package with 4 ruin in their wake, 3 explosive vegetation, 3 Nissa's renewal. That's my ramp package. And then, and again, this is just starting it off, so you know I do have some slots for other things. Then I have displacement wave, which. You know, I figure since I'm not running any creatures other than what I'm getting from Crush of Tentacles and another card, that Displacement Wave is just a really good reset. It's X and blue-blue, return all non-land permanents, converted mana cost X or less to their owner's hand. So I'm running 3 of those. 4 Crush of Tentacles. Then 4 Temporal Trespass, because I figure I'm going to be ramping, so why not, you know, take extra turns, or part okay. The Water Veil for extra creatures. A card that I really, really love, the Great Aurora. Figure, you know, ramp up, and then I can reset my hand. Plus, still have all the creatures, or have all my lands come back into play. And then that just leaves 5 slots.
This is what I'm going to do for you, Travis. This is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm thinking, as you were kind of talking, I was getting a little bit, I don't want to say necessarily inspired, but like re-expired, maybe?
Okay.
And I started thinking about things like, since it doesn't return lands, it returns all non-lands, started thinking, well, what do we really want? Like, awakened land stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, what if this basically goes into last week's deck? Like, from that I was playing. The, what is it? Like, that 3-color.
Okay.
Like, take out the Noondars, or maybe even leave in, like, one. Leave in, like, a Noondar, pull out the 2 retreats to Emeria, put that in. Maybe take out a Coastal Discovery for a... I don't know, maybe the Sylvan Advocate again. Like, I feel like the Sylvan Advocate can get some work done.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. And basically you set that up as your finisher. So not only do you have the deck going the way it was with, like, the Clutch Occurrence, the Halomite Tide Callers, the Awakened Spells, the Wall of Resurgence, the Retreat to kind of buy you that extra game in the early.
But now you got Noondars also.
You got your Noondars, and then you have your Crusher Tentacles kind of as, like, your finisher. Like, oops, Crusher Tentacles.
GG.
Hey, guess what? I have 2 untapped lands that are 5/5 still.
Right. Attack. And now I have an Octopi.
Yeah. Like, oh, looky here. Not only did I play Crusher Tentacles and make an 8/8, but Noondar was on the field, so this 3/3 land that I played with the Wall of Resurgence on 2 turns before is now a 6/6, plus my Wall of Resurgence is going back in my hand. Whoops.
That actually sounds really good.
Guess who's going to be taking 10 or 9 next turn? Attack for 6.
I'll give you a hint. It's not me.
Yeah, that might be a sweet one. And anyway, what I was saying is, while you were talking, I looked it up. According to MTG Goldfish, it is 82 cents. So I will buy a playset of these bad boys tomorrow.
And throw them in the deck.
And I'll throw them in the deck and see what we can make work. I think this is along the right tracks. Like, I don't feel like it should be that difficult to surge with the 4 anticipates, the Clutch Occurrences, the Fiery Impulses, the Jotty Offsuits. Like, you have enough 1-drops or 1-mana spells that you could probably get it off most of the time, or even 2-mana drops. I could easily see cutting a Serene Steward for this guy. Like, and maybe add some Disperses. You know, since we're kind of doing this bounce effect type thing. Or maybe even just add in more 1-mana spells. Like more Wild Slashes or... what's the one that taps a guy? Oh, what am I thinking?
Something Membrane.
Yeah, I was thinking like Rush of Ice. But something, and you know, more 1-mana spells that do things involving, that take advantage of the Tidehauler Callers coming back to your hand with potential awakenness. Because with Noondar, you already want 1-mana spells.
Right.
The other thing that I saw this weekend that I thought was very sexy that this deck could possibly use would be the make your creature a 4/4, or make your land a 4/4?
Yeah. Elemental Uprising.
Elemental Uprising. But this guy was running it in the Jeskai Ascendancy deck. So that was his second. Yeah, it was real good. I was really impressed.
So he makes a creature that he just untaps for mana.
Right.
Oh, that's
so
good.
He already had a it was easy to get his 1-mana creature out, his 1-mana dork, and his first Jeskai Ascendancy, but it was often hard for him to get a second mana dork, so he decided to run, what did you say it was called again?
Elemental Uprising.
Elemental Uprising, and that not only gave him his second creature, mana dork, but since it's got given haste, it generates a sick amount of mana. And it was just like all card draw and get going. So it is possible, you know, maybe you put the Jeskai Ascendancy in this sideboard and you just go to town. Maybe you're the Jeskai Ascendancy sideboard package in your Crusher Tentacles deck. So there's some things to think about. All I know is I was extremely impressed with that deck, and I think Crusher Tentacles has a lot of room to be really exciting and good in this format. Especially if you can do something, like I said, you know, Jeskai Ascendancy up, a big 4-4 land, crush a tentacles, make your 8-8 octopus, and then, like, give it haste, draw a card, untap your land, and attack for, you know, for 20 plus in a single turn. It seems sweet to me, bro.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what you do. I'm very excited to see what you can do. Hey, also, before we get into my troll card of the week, talking about Magic Online real quickly, I want to give a special thanks to one of our listeners, LJ. He kicked me a playset of the red-green fetchlands. I'm trying to think. Something Woodland, right?
Yeah, Woodland Foothills.
Wooded Foothills. And that's going to help quite a bit. Like, having access to the to that particular fetch land will be a big help, and I just wanted to say a special thanks to you for loaning me that. He said that, you know, he was listening to the last podcast, and he heard me kind of complain about not having fetches, and he's like, well, you know what? I've got these. I will loan them to you as long as I'm not playing them. And I went, gee, I appreciate it. Appreciate it a lot. That being said, my troll card of the week is Pulse of Murasa. I think we've talked about this card a couple of times before. I know it was one of the cards you were really high on when we were kind of looking at cards during the pre-release time.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'm kind of high on this card is because it crushed me at this week's Friday Night Magic in the finals.
Nice.
So, I went back and I looked at my life pad, and my opponent gained something like 29 life. And I was able to attack for 11 numerous times, and I had my opponent at less than 10. So I actually did like 40-some, 50-some life, or 50-some points of damage that game. My opponent was able to gain a bunch of life, and a lot of it was due to this card. He had 2. And I was like, and he had 6 mana. And he never did this, thank goodness, but he pulsed and gained life and kept returning creatures. And I was like, oh, thank God you can't, like, chain him off. But yeah, he just kept getting creature and creature and creature. It's really fortunate there wasn't, like, a creature that regrew anything in his graveyard. But I could easily see that becoming a thing.
Right.
Like, I know there's a couple of regrowy type cards in the format.
Like Reclaim.
There's the big green guy, like the 6/4 that regrows a card when it enters the battlefield. I feel like there's something else. Like, you could set up a situation where you just basically pulse to get back a creature or whatever. Then you play it, and then you regrow the pulse, and then you pulse, you know, and you could set up some sort of chain where you're gaining somewhere between 6 and 18 life a turn, I think,
yeah,
without too much of a difficulty. And if you can set up that combo, I don't understand how you lose.
Tainted Remedy.
I guess that would be the way that you lose. But
you're just like, oh, yeah, about that.
But I don't understand how many other people lose. Like, I don't see a lot of people running Tainted Remedy in their sideboard for the life gain deck, but I don't know. Maybe right now with Rally being the best deck, maybe Tainted Remedy is the way to go as the hot sideboard tech. I don't know. So let's get into the big news of the week. What do you say?
Do it.
GP Houston.
Oh.
Happened this weekend. A bunch of our friends went. Most of them did poorly. We had a couple of guys, a couple of friends make day 2. One guy went relatively deep into the day, and then I think he kind of fell off. I'm not real sure where exactly, that happened, but
Hunter?
No, Hunter kind of choked a little earlier. No, a couple of the guys from Hutch made it relatively deep.
Ah, okay.
I was looking to see if he was in the top 32, because I thought he was kind of close. But I guess the term was pretty large, because I don't see him. So I guess we should start with congratulations to Owen Turtenwald. He took the tournament down with, what did we decide, Collected Company? Rally.
Yeah, Rally.
Rally. I remember looking at his list and thinking, oh, it's a pretty sweet list. I like having more Sidisi's Faithful than that. And he's only run one Aile Eternal Pilgrim. But, I mean, you can't argue with winning the tournament, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could.
If anyone can't, Samus, it's you. You'd be wrong. But if anyone could do it, it would be you.
Right.
But, I mean, I'm pretty impressed. This list seems relatively refined. My main concern would be I like having one more Cities Least Faithful. I like having multiple Ailes or Ailes or however they're pronounced. I think they're very, very good. But his deck is just so cram-packed. Like, I wouldn't even know where you make cuts to get it all in there. So, in my own list, I could cut my list to make it all fit, but very, very impressive. Runner-up was, I think, Andrew Cuneo and his Dark Jeskai deck, which is also quite good. Not quite as exciting to me as the revisions to the four-color rally, but equally good. Who of those two would you rather have seen win? The decks. The rally or the Dark Jeskai?
Dark Jeskai.
You'd rather see the Dark Jeskai?
I only say that because I did so well with the Jeskai deck before this set came in, before Zendikar came back in.
Right.
And I just love the Jeskai colors for, I guess, this rotation, since I would say we don't have a Grixis deck, but apparently we do.
I mean, we basically do, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is it. I guess the reason I'm not a big fan of this particular Jeskai list, or Dark Jeskai list, over some of the others, is it's not running my favorite card, Mentor, Monastery Mentor. But I'm pretty pleased. I'm going to have to get some number of Kalidas, I think, for my list. But overall, I was pretty pleased. A lot of people are running 4 Painful Truths. And I'm not saying the card is bad. I like the card quite a bit. But I think for the same mana cost, I would rather just have the Read the Bones. Like, am I wrong? Am I crazy? Is drawing one more card for one more life as opposed to picking, you know, having a better shot at getting the two cards that you want? Is that better?
No, see, here's my thing, and I haven't actually seen anyone do this yet. With the amount of instances that are 1 and 2 drops that are available, why not just do...
Are you talking about the sacrifice a creature, draw alters, read?
No. Like, okay, so let's just say, you know, turn 4, you have 4 untapped lands, you Fiery Impulse them. And then you use the instant speed draw spell that draws you 2 cards for 3 mana with its surge cost.
Yeah, I think...
At the very worst, at the end of their turn, you're paying 4 mana to draw 2 cards. And you're not hurting yourself.
I think the negative is that you're spending essentially 2 cards to get 2 cards.
Yeah, but you're also getting rid of something.
Right. In theory, you're killing something.
We're
doing 2 damage.
With Painful Truths and Read the Bones, you're also killing something. You're killing your own life.
Yeah, but at the same time,
I'd rather get rid of a threat than...
You're either getting more cards, or you're digging one card deeper, or you're also adding in card selection. See, and I guess maybe this is just me watching so many people play the painful truths online, you know, watching the different videos, it just seems like they always get three land. Or they get two land and a card that's not that great, you know, for three life. Where if you could have instead, you know, scry two to the bottom, right, you could still get a land. But at least on the flip side, you have a much stronger chance of not getting a land. You know, you start putting lands on the bottom when you don't need them or whatever. I don't know. It seems weird to me. Also, I really like the, now I'm going to think or not remember the correct name. I'm going to feel really stupid. The Goblin Dark Dwellers?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to flashback Read the Bones. Like, if I have the choice between Read the Bones and Painful Truths, and I'm playing Goblin Dark Dwellers,
gonna read the bones.
I want Read the Bones in my deck. I don't want Goblin, or I don't want Painful Truths, because I want it to actually work.
Right.
Where all of these cards that have the, is it Conflux? Conflux? I don't know. Whatever it is. The ability, you know, do something based off the number of mana you pay. They just don't work off of the Dark Dwellers. And I just feel like that's important to me. So all that being said, I kind of skimmed through the top 32, and I didn't see anything, like, overly amazing.
I haven't scanned that list. I'm going to go scan that really quick.
Okay, you skim the list. I think probably the sweetest one would probably be this guy who took 32nd place, Mickey Humphreys. He's got a list he labeled Jeskai Some Dragons. Runs like a Sarkon, Chandra's, Thunderbreak Regent, Mantis Rider, which is basically a dragon. And a couple of things here or there. I felt like this was a reasonable list. But at the same, I thought, yeah, it's still not that exciting.
Look, just talking about it, you got bored.
I know, right? Like, I wanted to see something sweet. Like, remember I was talking, you know, earlier in the show, I was talking about that sweet, new Jeskai combo deck? Like, to me, that would have been the deck. I would have loved to see that in the top 30. You know, like, I would be all excited. I'd have a massive hard-on for that. As opposed to now, like, the most exciting deck is probably, you know, from a unique brewer-esque kind of point of view, it's probably the Hardened Scales deck making the top 30. Or, I think, wasn't there at least one in the finals?
Yeah, there's one. Let's see, in the finals, I still have that
page
open.
Mark Jacobs had a Hardened Scales in the
There's two in the top eight.
Is there two in the top eight? So, I mean, those are probably the most exciting that's left now, but still, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen something, like, way out of left field. Like your wall deck. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, I did fairly well with my blue-green flash deck this weekend. This FNM.
Yeah, I saw that. That's what you ended up taking down the tournament with.
Oh, I took third, but yeah. I only lost once.
Right.
It was so stupid.
But you did so well to get the guy so salty.
Well, okay, so, you know, let's finish talking about the GP, then we can talk about the FNM, because it was pretty fun.
Well, getting back to the GP, I didn't catch as much of this video, or as much of this stream as I would like.
I was worried.
I think that was, we went to Manhattan to go test drive motorcycles.
Nice.
And mopeds. And we kind of spent the day doing that, and I really didn't get it on Saturday. And then Sunday we just did other things. And when I went over to watch, it was already done. And they had some new commentators in the booth this weekend that, it's so weird because I'm going to say this and it's going to make me sound like such a little punk, but I'm not big fans of. And so it kind of turned me off that in that way.
So All right. So if I have the choice between watching a GP and a Star City Games event, I will always pick the Star City Games event. And I am judging this based solely on entertainment value. The SCG crew, with their commentating and everything, just seems to have more fun with it. And they just seem to interact with the audience more, you know, through Twitter and all that other stuff. And they're more presentable to the common person, while as the GPs, they try and make it seem more professional. It's just kind of boring.
I would possibly agree with you if it's not a Channel Fireball run GP, which in particular this one I believe was. I know LSV was doing a lot of the commentary. Marshall Sudcliffe, he does a lot of stuff, specifically via Twitter. I think Marshall is one of the reasons that it gets that seriousness vibe from you.
Yeah.
They're kind of like trying to replicate that SportsCenter-esque feel.
But even SportsCenter has fun every now and then.
Which, I don't know. I don't feel like that's necessary, you know. But I'm not a big sports fan, so maybe, you know, maybe they're comparing what they believe is good quality sports casting versus, you know, coming up with your own genre, your own rules. Like, I watch, occasionally, I'll watch, like, Pokemon card game. And they have so much more fun. I would agree with you. All that being said, in a void, I still think I prefer the Wizards crew over the Star City Games crew. And I think it's probably because there's slightly more variety as opposed to 180 commercials for Star City Games when they need to take a break or whatever. And that's just me nitpicking. If you're just watching the actual commentary, the Star City Game guys, I would tend to agree, are much stronger in knowledge of the cards, knowledge of the combos, able to piece together lines quicker, with the exception of like LSV or sometimes like a Ben Stark if he's not being racist at the moment. Which, don't get me wrong, I like Ben Stark a lot, and I tend to follow a lot of his thoughts to the conclusions I think he actually meant it, where accidental racism and this PC world that we live in is a little bit effed up.
Yep.
But at the same time, I kind of get it. I understand what you're saying, and I would still tend to watch the Wizards one, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, tell me a little bit more about this Friday Night Magic, and then we have the question that we need to get into.
Okay.
This week.
I was playing that blue-green Flash deck, and I ended up taking third. I lost only one game, and that one game loss was to the Altar of the Brood Monitor deck.
Okay. So it uses the combo where it's flashing things around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that list a lot, too.
And so the first game I did beat him. I just outraced him. Second game, out of nowhere, you know, he just popped it off. And then third game, I saw the combo again, and I was just like, he's like, okay, and now I win. And me just being the troll that I am, I was like, prove it.
Like, go ahead, let's do it.
And the guy, he just looks at me, he's like, I know you're messing with me. That's what makes us great. And the guy next to me, who's also just very, you know, just loves the comedy of the whole thing, he just bust up laughing. And then we're sitting next to the judge, who was also playing. He's like, "What's going on over here? Why are you guys laughing so much?" I was like, "Well, he said he has the infinite combo, and I want to make sure that he does." He goes, "Okay, but by doing that, it's stalling." And I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's
there's a lot of triggers, and I want to make sure he does them right. Otherwise, he doesn't win. And he just, like the judge, he just rolls his eyes at me. Like, dude, it's a game, and we want to have fun. This is not stalling.
No, like...
And I think that...
Even if you were to go to, like, the Pro Tour or something, right, you would prove that there's a loop.
Yeah.
Then once you can display the loop, then you can shortcut it.
Right.
So you have to be able to display the loop. Now, if he displays the loop to you, and then you're like, okay, we'll just keep going to see if he makes a mistake somewhere,
then
you could probably be called stalling a little bit. But you have to be able to display that loop when asked. He's like, oh, I got my four cards. Like, awesome, do it.
Right.
That's totally an acceptable thing to do at any tournament, at any level. Because there's a lot of people, like you said, they don't know how to do the combo. They don't know how the deck actually works. They just know if you get these three cards into play, they win, and you're like, okay, well, I have the infinite combo. And most people will scoop at that point, because they're counting on their opponents understanding the combo and knowing that, hey, I get these cards into play, I win.
Right. And I don't play that game.
No, I wouldn't either. At least not the first time. You know, if he comboed off on me game one, and I made him go through all the steps to show it to me,
right,
I'd let him get away with it games after that, but
right, and
not until then.
And, like, you know, the two of us that were playing, we were both very comical about it, so we understood that it was a joke. And this was game three, and there was 25 minutes left in the round. So,
yeah.
I mean,
stall for 23 minutes.
How exactly am I gonna do this? Like, how am I gonna drag this out? And it's just, it was just funny. And then, let's see, I did beat the green red Jessica or the green red Eldrazi ramp deck, and I really just beat it due to everything being cast on their turn. The only thing that isn't cast on their turn is a Sylvan Advocate or one of the Planeswalkers that I don't necessarily need to win.
Correct. It is a huge advantage of having all your guys have flash.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons when we were originally talking about the deck and laying it out that I was taken by it, was like, okay, not only can I make this deck work around Collected Company, but I can also build it around all these guys having flash.
Right.
And that's just insane.
The Void Grafter did so much work.
Well, again, being a 2/4, that saves a guy from a removal spell.
On their turn.
Right. That is a big deal. Basically, I mean, it's not quite Mystic Snake, but in a lot of situations, it's Mystic Snake.
Right. Well, the times that I saved my creatures, it was always the Sylvan Advocate that I saved.
Well, it's probably the most dangerous guy in your deck, right?
Yeah. Like, okay, so I was playing against a dude who had the ramp deck, and he he ramped out to Ugin, and I just had a Sylvan Advocate on the field with 5 mana. So he was like, well, I'm going to bolt this now since it's kind of a threat. And he didn't want to get rid of his own advocate,
mm-hmm.
So he didn't use the negative ability. So when he did that, I was like, all right, I'm going to respond by flashing in Void Grafter and making him hexproof. And he just kind of rolls his eyes. He goes, that sucks.
I mean, yeah, it's part of it. Like, there's the reason why those things are in the deck.
Yep, and then the turn after that, I flashed in... Or no, the next turn I flashed in Bounding Crassus, tapped down his advocate, swung, killed Ugin.
So, I guess we're kind of at a point where we can transition into this question, and because I think it segues as part of this conversation really nicely. So, LJ, I remember again, he was the gentleman who loaned me the fetch lands on Magic Online. He wants to know, because he's semi-local. That's where I went this weekend to test ride the motorcycle.
Right.
He wants to know what he should be playing for the PPTQs coming up in a couple of weeks. And he asked me, he's like, all right, well, you're planning on coming and playing on Saturday, right? And again, the for those of you who don't know about this, which I'm hoping is none of you, I'm hoping you're all coming back from last week or the week before. But hopefully there's also some new listeners. So my local card shop, the Arena in Salina, Kansas, is teaming up with a card shop in Manhattan, which is about 40 minutes away. And we do this every PPTQ. It's part of the way of sharing the cost of the judge, because the judge has got to travel because we live in the middle of nowhere, stuff like that. So we team up. They have their tournament on Saturday, and then we have our tournament on Sunday. You know, this way the judge only has to drive another 45 minutes, and then he can go home afterwards, and yada, yada, yada. So this tournament, we have really gone all out on prizes. And you can check out the website, samusgrobo.com, and see a flyer of the prizes. But just to kind of give you, you know, a rough idea, there's at least two Tarmogoyfs in the prize pool, one foil. There's a Liliana in the Veil. There's four Snapcaster Mages in the prize pool. A set of Spellskites. There's a Karn. There's a playset of Marsh Flats. Like, and there's more. All these things are in the prize pool already. Like a Strip Mine Expedition. There's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of sweet ones. Plus, I know for the Arena in particular, if you pre-register, it's $20 instead of $25. And as well as those people who pre-register are going to be entered automatically into extra drawings for extra prizes. So it's a really exciting tournament weekend. If you're within, you know, a few hour drive of Salina, Kansas, I would highly recommend checking it out. Like, if you were 6 hours away, this might be a tournament worth driving to just for this prize pool. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong, but it is for me. Like, I'm one of those people who don't travel. And it's really difficult for me to go someplace to play. This is a tournament that I'm traveling for. So I'm playing in Manhattan on Sunday, and he wants to know what I'm going to play. What is my plan right now? What do I think I will be able to take the tournament down with? So conveniently, we have this huge list of results. You know, we've got these top 32 from GP Houston. We have... It looks like Bant Collected Company essentially taking down the Star City Games tournament in Philadelphia this weekend. What do you play? That's the million-dollar question right now. And I'm not 100% sure. I'm kind of leaning towards a Mardu deck, splashing green. I think they're doing the Mardu green, I think is what it's called right now. Caleb Turtenwald, or Dirtlewald, or whatever his name is, Caleb, is running. I really like his list a lot. It's running, just to kind of skim some of the knuckle, or keys here, Fire Impulses, Duresses, Transgress the Minds, Read the Bones, two main deck sweepers in Radiant Flames and Languish. I think there's a 3-mana spell that could do 2 damage, right? Like the Return of Kozilek or something? Kozilek's Return?
Yeah, there's that.
It might be, in my opinion, it might be better than Radiant Flames in this list, in the main. Just because that will always do 2. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the ability to sometimes do 3 is good. But I say that because this deck runs 3 Goblin Dark Dwellers. And as we kind of talked about before, I'd rather just have a spell that I can flash back and know that it's going to go off than run something that would potentially be no value.
Right.
4 Crackling Dooms, which is one of the top 2 cards in Standard, in my opinion. 4 Siege Rhinos, Murderous Cuts, and one main deck Chandra, and he's convinced that you only want one main deck Chandra and one in the sideboard. But basically, I really like this list a lot. I'm kind of leaning this direction. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking this Bant Collected Company looks really sweet too. So, what do you think of this huge pile of decks that I've kind of compiled in our show notes, right? Like, where are you thinking? And not even necessarily from this list of decks, but, you know, from homebrew stuff that we played over the last couple of months. What are you thinking?
Okay, so if you don't want to do one of our beautiful homebrews,
which I could still potentially do. Like I said, I really feel strongly about the deck that we played last week. I love the Zada deck that we built. Like, I feel like there's some strength there, but I want to make top 8 in this tournament so bad. I don't want to flip out because of, you know, some bad draws or whatever.
Like I said, if you don't want to play one of our homebrews, in my opinion, the two decks that stand out the most to me are the Bant Company and Hardened Scales.
I really do like the Hardened Scales list. Just kind of looking, BBD has a list. I linked that one. It's one of the ones in the show notes. This isn't the exact list that he played in the Houston. So you can check that out. I think did he make top 32? I know that Brian Nelson did.
Yeah.
They usually play a similar list. I believe they still work together.
And the thing,
just kind of skimming here, but
the thing that they all just kind of forget about is Inspiring Call.
Inspiring Call.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, all these creatures have 1/1 counters. Inspiring.
Most of our.
Yeah. Inspiring Call. I think the only two that don't come in automatically with counters. Well, there's three. Mana Gorger Hydra, Abzan Falconer, and Avatar of the Resolute. Which, if your Avatar of the Resolute doesn't come in with counters, it's because you didn't have anything on the field, so you just have a 3-2 with Reach and Trample. Sure. And the Mana Gorger Hydra, as soon as you cast a spell, it's getting a counter.
Correct.
Now, Inspiring Call is a 3-drop instant, and it's green. Green and 2 colorless. You draw a card for each creature you control with a 1/1 counter on it. Those creatures
are
indestructible until end of turn.
Yeah, it's an ability to draw, fill your hand back up. I guess a lot of people are doing Nissa, Voices Indicar with the same kind of idea. But you have to neg 7 her to be able to do to draw cards.
Right.
Like, if you can neg 7 Nissa, you probably have already won the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't disagree with you on that, because, I mean, this is basically a mono-green deck. I mean, it's not really. It does run Falconer. It does run Dromica's Command. But it is basically a mono-green deck.
Right.
Which is not something green is notorious for. It's been getting a lot better, right, the ability to draw cards. But, you know, right now, you need something like that to fill your hand back up. To just push through certain things. I like it. I would do that. So
it saves your creatures.
Yeah, I mean, it's an instant, right?
Yeah. Well, and it makes them indestructible.
Well, that's why, because it being an instant, you can save it for when you need to.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a lot of Rast right now.
It's makes them indestructible. Like, the only thing, it'd get Flaying Tendrils and Languished out. But
correct.
There's all the damage spells plus the, you know, the wrath spells, and
there's a lot of stuff, a lot of blocking, a lot of combat that could happen. Yeah.
So for 3 mana, you save your creatures and draw cards. I don't see why people aren't playing it.
I guess it would probably be because where do you cram them in, right? Like, so you got to cut a Nissa, and a Valor stance to glue some of these in. Because a lot of these decks are already running 24 creatures, 23 lands. You have to run your enchantments. You definitely want Dromica's Command because there's not a better card in the format for this.
Right.
Like, in an ideal world, you kill a creature and put two counters on a guy. Like, that's pretty huge.
Honestly, maybe just drop one land and one Nissa?
I don't know if I love that. Like I said, I could see cutting a Nissa and a Valor Stance and running two of them. I guess they're also thinking Valor Stance to something similar, plus
its removal.
Plus it can remove a thing. But I like the idea of Inlet to draw a couple of cards. I don't disagree with you. But that's what you're thinking? You thinking Hardened Scales is the sexy?
Hardened Scales or Bant Company.
Or Bant Company. Yeah, I just keep going right back to this Mardu Green list.
I beat it several times.
Did you?
Yeah. I beat it with the green-blue flash deck and with the walls. Like,
I feel like there's a way to set this deck up to take advantage of that.
No, there most likely is.
I mean, again, there's some things that I would disagree with how he's playing it versus how I'd play it. The way he's got things set up, he's got Ultimate Price in the main. Don't think I love Ultimate Price in the main, but maybe that's the best choice. You know, he's running four Fire Impulse in the main. But of all the brewers out there, you know, the two that come to my mind are Conley and Caleb. And Caleb, I think, is closer to my style than anybody. He's even got a Cranial Archive in the sideboard. Come on. Come on. Let's do this again. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I do like the Bant Company list that's floating around right now with Windmate Rocks and all the Flash guys. The disadvantage of this list that I'm looking at right now by BBD, it doesn't run the... What's the guy's name? The 2-4 Void something?
Yeah, Void Grafter.
Void Grafter. I like the Void Grafter a lot. I think he's very, very good. Like, I could see cutting something to glue him in. Like, cut a Stratus Dancer. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think if you're going to run these Bant colors, you want to be playing him right now. He's very good. The other deck that's kind of sexy is this Mardu Prowess deck. You know me. I want to be playing Creeping Doom, right? Crackling Doom. I want to be playing Crackling Doom in this format. And this runs a bunch of them. And I just... I'm trying to get the quality to kick up here so I can read the cards. Thank you. So this list runs 3 Soulfire Grandmasters, 4 Seeker of the Way, again Painful Truce, which I don't love, 4 Colligan's Commands, 4 Crackling Dooms, 4 Nia Pia and Kandra Nular, 2 Murderous Cuts, no Goblin Dark Dwellers, which is a card that I think would be very good in this list. I think you can cut a parent. Switch Painful Truths for Read the Bones, add in a couple of Goblin Dark Dwellers, and this deck would be way up there. I think you cut an Abbot or two of the Carol Keep, and there you go. Like, you're already running 25 lands. Why on earth are you running 4 Abbots of the Carol Keep? Plus, you know, no way to recycle your spells except for Colligan's Command. Doesn't make any sense to me, but this is also very sexy and right up my alley.
Right.
And then, of course, there's also this Black-White Tokens list that came out a while ago. Again, running Painful Truce in the main. Knight of the White Orchards in the main. Silk Wraps. Gideons. Sorens. Utter End. What's the white enchantment that's white, white, XX? gets a bunch of guys.
Quarantine field.
Wingmate Rocks, Murderous Cuts, the Black Planeswalker, Nyxilis, Obnyxilis,
yep.
Secure the Waste, and Hangerback Walkers. So this is also very similar to something that I would really like. I think it runs some blue cards in the sideboard, like Counterspells, because why not? If you're going to be running those fetch lands anyway, you might as well. And you are, because there's no reason not to run the blue fetch lands to make your mana base all work a little easier.
Right.
So the sideboard runs a couple of things that I think are pretty amazing. So there's also that list. But at the same time, there's one more list that I kind of want to touch on that I think is very, very good right now. Mono Blue Eldrazi. And I think this is a deck that, when I said maybe we should put this together... for Remington, you kind of laughed. Remington is my son, and last year he basically dominated the field with a
colorless
blue artifact deck.
I was going to say colorless blue.
Colorless blue is a fine way to put it. He basically took advantage of
everybody's
anus.
What's the
make an artifact into a 5/5?
The scissors.
Yeah, Giant Scissors, that's what he keeps calling it.
I forget what it's called, but it's Scissors.
Basically that, and Ghostfire Blades, and all these sweet zero drops, like Ornithopters that, you know, for zero, and stuff like that. The enchantment that whenever you attack with two creatures, you get to draw a card. Two or more creatures, you draw a card. He took advantage of that as his draw engine. This list, I think, is pretty sweet. Two Hangerback Walkers, four Dimensional Infiltrators, four Eldrazi Spy Spawners, four Ruination Guide, four Thoughtknot Seers, four Wooler Rogue, two Reality Smashers, four Ghostfire Blades. This list has four Suburban Denials in the main and four Hedron Archives in the main. And then the mana base is just a thing of beauty with three Foundry of the Consoles, Rogue Passage, Seagate Wreckage. Not seen in this deck is the when a creature comes into play, put a 1/1 counter on it. If it's a colorless dude, like I think that would be in here, like maybe less Seagate Wreckage and one Orin Reef something, Orin Reef Wreckage or something
oh,
like that.
Oh, yeah, okay. The land,
I can see putting, yeah, the land. I can see putting a few of those in here. It's just because what's better than a Reality Smasher? On turn, you know, 5 or 6, it's a 6/6 Reality Smasher.
Right.
So I think that would be good in this deck. Of course, Hangerback Walker is just amazing when you can play that, because basically it taps for 2 mana for Hangerback Walker.
Yep.
Which is very good, in my opinion. And then you got things, like I said, with the Dimensional Infiltrator, that's the Flash Flying guy, so you can make like a 3/2. Flyer at instant speed for 3 mana. Eldrazi Sky Spawner, similar deal. You can make a 2/2 or you can make a 3/2 flyer. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. For 1 more mana, adding a +1/+1 counter. Just ridiculous. So I'm kind of thinking about building this for Remington, but it could be one of those things that I just play too. I don't know. But... you basically are back to Bant, the Bant list, or the
Hardened Scales.
Or the Hardened Scales.
If you don't want to play one of our beautiful decks.
No 4-color Rally.
No.
No, I'm trying to think whatever else is in the top right now. No Azban,
nope.
Aggro.
Nope.
Just, I don't know. I agree with you in principle, but I keep coming back to this Mardu green list.
Why not run the 5-color company?
Oh, the crazy 5-color company that I was brewing on before you moved?
Yeah.
I guess it's probably the mana base. Like, it was always the mana base that was a real problem with that deck. Now it's probably better than it was. But I really don't want to be spending...
Time
doing something. I want to be watching professionals play it, watching other people. You know, the problem with a tournament like this for me, right, where there's a lot of pressure to do well, you know, and because I don't play in a lot of big tournaments around here. Mostly I draft and I have fun, you know. But we have some guys who do travel and they do feel like they're very competitive. So I could sit there and play test and play with those guys. And I could get the practice in that I need to do well. But since the tournaments I play in are all local, that means they already know the ins and outs of my deck as well. So those guys who practice and get really good are the ones that will meet towards the top.
Yep.
And they already know my deck. I already know their deck, but they already know my deck. So that, to me, takes out the surprise factor of what are you playing. That is really what helps me pull those edges ahead over them, I think. It's one of the mind games that I can play. You know, it's the same kind of deal where we throw in that weird troll card that just kind of gets like, what? You know, the whole show is built around that concept of making people kind of lose their mind a little bit on, why are you playing that card? That card's not good. How could you possibly make this work? It's the same factor with, you're playing that deck? Really? I wouldn't think you'd play something like that. That I think really helps me in these small tournaments.
Okay.
If I was traveling someplace to, like, a GP in Kansas City or Houston or wherever, if I was traveling to a place like that, it would be a totally different story, I feel. Where the odds of me running into somebody who already knew my deck inside and out better than me would be lessened, especially if it's something that I've brewed up. Because those are the people that, as you start getting to the top tables, watch everybody watch all these videos all the time. So, and that's where I get even more advantage from having a brew. Now, if we get, you know, 50 pre-registrations here in the next week, then it'll be a totally different story, right? Like from out-of-towners?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden the odds change.
Right, and with the prize support going on, I don't see how you couldn't get that many people.
I really hope so. Again, if you're listening to this, if you can hear the sound of my voice and you're a few hours away from Salina, Kansas, it's all interstate. It's pretty simple, just boom, boom, boom. Please give us a call. The phone number's on the flyer, which you can check out at the website, samusgrobel.com, or I may or may not glue it into this week's show notes, too. I don't want to make this show a giant flyer every week, but I definitely feel like, for me, this is the tournament to go to for the year, you know. And if this tournament does well, then we just might start doing more stuff of these level prize pools. Like, that's pretty insane. You know, you could easily come in here, make top eight, and make somewhere between an extra 60 to 150. I don't even know what a foil Tarmogoyf is going for right now. MTG, Goldfish, Tarmo.
Probably a couple hundred.
Now I gotta be able to spell Tarmogoyf. Just get over here.
T-A-R-M.
Alright, and these are Modern Masters, I think 2015, but I'm not 100% sure. So a foil, Modern Masters 2, Tarmogoyf is $250.
Yeah.
And that is down slightly from when we decided to do this. It looks like at the time it was probably closer to probably, no, it's about the same. Like, it's dropped quite a bit since we decided to do this, but realistically, like $3 or $4. So still somewhere around $250, which in my opinion is a pretty sweet, first place prize. You know, for what you would expect to be probably a 50-person tournament.
Yeah.
A 50-person or less tournament. And, of course, if we get to, unofficially, I think if we get to 50 people, then we're going to step the prize pool up. Again. So that's the minimum right now. with bonus stuff coming after that.
How many people can the store hold?
Legally? Or seat-wise?
Seat-wise.
We set up 64 tables for the first PPTQ.
Okay.
That we did. And we still actually had room. Now, we didn't use anywhere near that many. I think our biggest PPTQ has been 30. Like, our biggest tournament in a long time has been around 30 or 40. But we typically get around 50, 55 for pre-releases and stuff like that very easily. So, at the same time, I think that we could handle a bigger store. We could handle more players. The game actually, the store in Manhattan is actually smaller.
Mm-hmm.
They have less tables. And I think they had 5 8-man tables. Or maybe 6 8-man tables. But they also had room that they could set up for more players as well. So hopefully both days are going to be huge. If you can make it, please do. I think it'll be sweet. And hopefully I'll be able to come and beat you. And that will be exciting. I will be happy to sign whatever or even give you a big fat kiss right on the cheek. No homo. All right, maybe a little homo. All right, so Travis, we didn't get a play last week because I had stuff going on. We've already gone a little bit longer than usual, but I want to play a couple of things this week. So what we did is I Googled up a list of would you rather questions.
Okay.
And we're going to knock out not necessarily as many of them as you can because there's 55, and I would like to save some for next time. I think these will be fun. But some of these are going to be pretty quick and easy dirty that I think will be fun.
All right.
All right. So, would you rather have a large 10-inch long belly button that swayed to music or have accordions for legs?
Oh, definitely accordions.
Would you rather have to sneeze but not be able to or have something stuck in your eye for an entire year?
Can I choose shotgun to the face?
No.
Mm.
You have to sneeze but you can't for a year or have something stuck in your eye for a year.
Now, is it a constant I can't sneeze?
Yes.
Or like does it like go away every now and then like a normal
Well, it's like a normal sneeze. Like you like
Okay, then I.
If you want to sneeze, but you can't.
Then I choose the sneeze.
Okay.
Because sneezing hurts my back.
Would you rather have a dragon or be a dragon?
Be a dragon.
I probably agree. I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, unless they're like from the dragons on how to train your dragon. Because in that case, I would want a dragon.
Right, right. I think I'd want to have a dragon, I think. If push comes to shove, unless we're talking about like a Dungeons and Dragons dragon that's like a polymorphine, like super long living, you know.
Oh yeah, if I could be a polymorphous dragon, 100%.
Right, dragon. But like if you're like a Game of Thrones dragon, I think I'd rather have a dragon. Okay, so here's a little bit of a sexy question, a little bit of a risque question, as it were. Would you rather secretly have sex with a goat, or would you rather have everyone think that you had sex with a goat, even though you didn't? Now, I am your friend. I knew you through your more inebriated years. I would believe it if someone told me that you had sex with a goat one day while you were drunk.
Yeah, I mean...
So... Keep that in mind. Would you rather that be the story that went around, or would you rather have just actually had intercourse with the goat?
I'd rather that just be the story.
I'd rather just be the story, because then you would know, right?
Yeah.
Secretly, in your heart, you would know that you didn't have goat sex.
I can always stop talking to those people.
But the rumor continues. It's always around.
Oh, well, I guess I won't go to those cities.
Would you rather have hair nowhere on your body or be very hairy everywhere and not be able to shave? So you'd either be totally bald or Bigfoot.
I'd go with Bigfoot.
Yeah, I figured that'd be it. That's a pretty easy one.
All else, I can just wear shorts and walk around in the winter like I normally do.
Like, what's the difference? All right, so let's jump down to some slightly different categories here. Let's do some would you rather question for the girls.
Okay.
Would you rather wear a push-up bra all day long, every day, or stiletto heels all day long, every day? Now, I realize this is probably meant as a uncomfortable question, because I imagine both of these things are quite uncomfortable to wear. But I think this is more of a sexy question.
I think just due to my hatred of shoes, I'd have to wear a bra.
Oh, ooh la la, so sexy.
Out of spite for my own hatred, I'm going to put on a bra.
Would you rather be told to stop being so sensitive every day or be asked if you're PMSing every day? To be fair, my wife gets so mad at me.
When you ask her.
Not every single day. Not every single day. But she is one of those people who she wears her emotions pretty much right on her sleeve. And those people who know me know that I have to, like, dig around with both hands to find my feels. So there's a lot of days where I'm like, all right, relax. It's all good. We don't need to be so stressed out over what's going on. So this is an interesting question. What would you rather be told to stop being so sensitive or asked if you're PMSing?
Like,
he's mulling it over, folks.
I don't have emotions, so.
Well, let's do it like that. You in your normal everyday life, right?
Okay.
People are saying, "Why are you so sensitive? Why are you being so moody? Are you on the rag? Is Aunt Flo in town? Is the Red Scourge upon us?"
Probably just shrug it off.
I think if you had to live with it your whole life,
I'd probably just kill people.
I think it's an extra strength to and the compassion of women that as men we're still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy for us men who really do try to contain our feels and boil things down to a why kind of flash that it really does seem crazy. All right, so one last more. Let's skip down again to another category. Would you rather questions for tech lovers? You're a tech lover, right? You love technology.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna piss me off, isn't it?
Oh, probably. I'm trying to find one here that really irritates you. One that I think would actually bother you at all. Okay, this one may actually get to you, Travis. As I know you like Facebook.
Yeah.
I think you could give it up. I think you could give it up. And I think we're going to have to scale this period of time. But I think for you, Facebook is like the ultimate trolling device.
Oh, 100%.
So I feel like it's something that was very important in your day-to-day life. So would you rather be stung by a jellyfish or give up Facebook for a month? And this may have to turn into like a year or 6 months. The exact time frame is not necessarily set in stone here, but stung by a jellyfish or give up Facebook.
Okay, so based on my own curiosity or pain, I kind of want to get stung by a jellyfish.
I feel like you're one of the people who would tase yourself if you had a taser.
There's videos on that have been deleted off of Facebook, but yes, we already have done that too. Actually, I think I still have a couple on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Please don't tell that. We're going to have to link you getting stunned by
a taser. Oh, no, it's not me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I thought you'd one of the people who'd want to know what it's like, so you'd tase yourself.
I did. I didn't record.
Okay, but you don't have the video.
Yeah, we don't have the video of that. Like, I
think we should take a video of you. I think we should do this experiment again, and you should be recorded getting tased.
All right. Well, either way, I'd probably get stung by a jellyfish just because I want to know what it feels like.
Okay, so what if we sexy up this question a little bit? If you get stung by a jellyfish, I have to be the one that pees on the wound.
I think I'd give up Facebook for a year.
There we have it, folks. That's the line. Boom. All right, everybody. I'm Samus. He's Travis. We'd like to thank you for listening. Please, if you would like to ask us one of these questions or be part of the show, there's two ways to do that. twotrollsandabrew@gmail.com, the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com. Of course, you can also send us a question via Twitter. I'm Samus Garobo, all one word, SamusGurobo. He is Turtle Power, the number 319. He tweeted this week. I saw you. It was very good. You can also check me out on Twitch. Again, Samus Garobo, all one word. I play Hearthstone on Mondays, Magic on Tuesdays, Dungeons & Dragons Online on Wednesdays, Heroes of the Storm on Thursdays, Fridays, not 100% set in the air, basically whatever I feel like playing at the time. It's a little bit of DDO sprinkled in the afternoon. Saturday, again, I kind of tend to play DDO. That's my MMO of choice. I put that up on the stream. But if you're interested in actual Dungeons & Dragons, the pencil and paper version, we stream a game of Dungeons & Dragons currently using Roll20, but are about to switch over to Fantasy Grounds, which is a very cool tool. So we're going to try that off for a season. I appreciate you watching. You can check us out at samusgarobo.com, which is our homepage. Of course, you can also find us at mtgcast.com, as well as you can find other amazing MTG-related podcasts. Travis, your closing thoughts, my friend.
For just things in general, or just control on?
Oh, whatever you want to do, my friend. How do you want to end the show? I open the show, I run through the middle of the show, I do the closing, and then I throw it to you. What do you want to share with people? This is your moment to shine in holy glory. What do you want people to know? If you died tomorrow and this was the last thing to ever come out and be shared with the hundreds of fans, what do you want them to know?
Well, keeping it on a PG basis, don't be salty bitches.
Don't be salty bitches. Crawl on, everybody.
Crawl on.